Assalamu alaikum, peace be with you, and welcome to Islam and Life with me, Tariq Ramadan, broadcasting from London. In today's show, we ask the question, what importance does Islam place on seeking knowledge?
The topic of knowledge can be widely found within Islamic teachings and practices. So much so that the first commandment and revelation from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to His Messenger Muhammad, peace be upon him, was, "Read in the name of your Lord who has created all." Narrations from the Prophet, peace be upon him, tell us of the high statuses in which knowledge seekers are rewarded, and over 700 verses within the Quran speak of knowledge and its associated words. But in a world occupied by continuously developing technology, mankind has become both reliant on these gadgets and distracted from seeking Islamic knowledge. At the same time, Western Muslims are too preoccupied with adapting to a new society and are deterred away from learning about their religion. This week's Islam and Life asks, what importance does Islam place on seeking knowledge?
It's an important question to ask in our time when we see all this, you know, world of media, internet, global communication, what is said and in which way it is communicated to people. Well, for example, what we have today is people reading less books, being much more connected to internet, to videos and to movies, where the very essence of knowledge in the Islamic tradition is to be connected to books. As it was said in the clip, the first commandment that is coming to the Messenger, peace be upon him, is اقرأ بسم ربك, is read in the name of your Lord or your educator. So this is essential in Islam. And not only we have to read the scriptural sources, the Quran, and to understand the prophetic tradition, we are also invited to read the world, to read the universe. It's siru fil ard fanzuru. It's just go to the world and read and understand what is happening. So knowledge is everywhere in Islam, and it is said and repeated, talabul ilm faridatun ala kulli muslim wa muslima, is seeking knowledge is an obligation for every single Muslim man and woman. So this is something that we have, and yet if we look at what is happening in Muslim majority countries, what is happening for Western Muslims, very often they are very far from knowledge, they are very far from seeking knowledge, and very much distracted by what is happening in the world. How can we come back and reassess this, understanding the very essence of Islam, the very essence of the Islamic message, and to try to make it attractive? Because at the end of the day, this is the central point. How this could be attractive for young Western Muslims or young Muslims living in Muslim majority countries? Critical questions, and to answer all these questions, I'm joined by my guest, who is studying Islam in Lebanon, Hussein Makki. Thank you so much for being with us
Thank
today. And it's good that you are yourself. You were born in Europe.
London,
you were
yes.
born in London, and you decided to go there for the sake of knowledge. It's just to get the essence of your religion. And so this is the starting point, which is going to seek knowledge where you think that knowledge is, and it sees in the traditional way it is there. So, in fact, let us just start with your personal decision and explain to us your personal decision in the light of what you know about Islam, just to start from a practical experience to the essence of the Islamic message.
Okay. First of all, I remember coming across a hadith from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa saying that you need to seek knowledge even if it's in China. So I always felt that knowledge is far away. I couldn't just go onto Wikipedia and find out what I want to know. I felt it was with the masters. And to be with the masters, you have to travel. So after I graduated from my journalism degree last year, I felt that I wanted something more. Not the usual. I just didn't want to get a job and start a family and stay here and the usual life. That is nothing wrong with it. But I felt I wanted something more, to take the knowledge from where it's based. And language is the key to knowledge. And one of the problems that I had living in the UK all my life was that I was really bad at Arabic. And to be a Muslim and barely know how to read Arabic, it's a problem, since the Quran is...
What do you mean? If you don't know Arabic, you cannot be a good Muslim?
No.
So explain the point. It's important.
The English Quran is... I don't find it as the real Quran, the essence of the Quran. In Arabic, now that I can read it and understand it, it's so different, different experience to me compared to the English Quran. And it's not that you're not a good Muslim, it's that it does not bear fruit within you. So the Quran, the Arabic one, when you read that Quran, it's you feel different and you grow as a person. So it's the levels that you want to get to.
But that's a very important point that you are making here, which means, for example, for every Muslim, men and women, one of the first stage of seeking knowledge could be just to have the basic Arabic understanding of the Quran.
Yes.
Because this is where you can... The Quran is different if you know what you are listening to or reading,
definitely.
And if you don't.
Hmm. Yeah, language overall, in any science, language I think is the key to knowledge. So with Arabic especially, and Arabic is a very rich language, compared to the Arabic from centuries ago, the Arabic we have now is not as rich as it used to be because we are not learning it, we're dying out. It's not as it used to be. So we need to keep connected to the language of the Quran, which is the language of Islam. So that was my initial reason to go to Lebanon. After the language issue, I felt the masters were there, so I needed knowledge from them. Of course, I had the problem of how would I live and everything, but I felt tawakkul would get me by, because I remember...
So you went there...
I went there not knowing anything, not knowing where I'm going to live, not knowing how to get by. I had 1,000 euros that I saved up, and that was it. But I remember a hadith from Ali ibn Abi Talib saying, "Al-'ilm khayrun min al-mal, al-'ilm yuhrisuka wa anta tahrisu al-mal," which means that knowledge is greater than money, than wealth, or because knowledge protects you while you protect your wealth. So I kept saying this to myself and saying, "What I want from life is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If I want Allah, then I need to do something different than the usual route that was pretty much laid out to me on a script." Because of that, and because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, "وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسَ إِلَّا لَيَعْبُدُونَ," and I felt that this seeking knowledge was ibadah in itself.
To translate what you were saying.
He says, "I did not create mankind and the jinn except to worship me." And seeking knowledge in itself is worshipping Allah. So I felt that I want to commit myself for the next few years, while I'm still growing, to developing my knowledge on Islam. So I traveled to Lebanon.
So that's a good point. First, to say it's important to get this and to try to get this knowledge. You decided first, the first stage, or the first step was, I need the language to be able to deal with the scriptural sources, with the Quran and the prophetic traditions. Does it mean in your view, because I did the same, in fact, when I was young, I went to the Muslim majority countries in Egypt and I got, you know, the knowledge from the scholars. And when I came back, going for all the ijazat, the permission that you can teach, I had students saying, okay, look, shall we go? Is the future of Western Muslims to get knowledge is to go to Muslim majority countries, or can we get it here?
I believe that with all knowledge, whether Muslim or non-Muslim knowledge, it's if you want the hardcore knowledge and the manuscripts and the scriptures, everything,
the essence of the roots
in front of you, you need to go, you need to travel. Now what's happening is there are people from the West who are traveling, but then they're taking the material and they're coming back. And that is, in the last 20 years, in the last 10 years, in fact, more, it's been happening more occasionally, where people have been coming back and they're spreading the knowledge. So, but that's their responsibility now. Now that they have it, they have to spread it. So now we have masters here also. So there's no actual need or necessity to travel like before. But because life, people, and books are three very important sources of knowledge, not just the books itself, because you need the experience from life to apply that knowledge. So I would recommend to travel, just because the experience will help you to gain practical knowledge as well as the book knowledge that you would receive.
Yes, it's not mutually exclusive. Yeah. If you can travel. If you can't, you still can get the knowledge here in the West, as you are saying. Now, you did this, In fact, if we look at the Muslim communities in the West, you are more an exception than the rule, because we have lots of people doing this, but still it's a minority. If now we come to the community, and we keep on repeating this to the world, we say Islam is promoting science and knowledge. This is what we are repeating, and we start with the first revealed verse, and then we are repeating Noon wal qalami wa ma yasurun, that the qalam, and that this has to do with writing and everything. It's knowledge. Knowledge is everywhere, and the Quran is about knowledge. And okay, that's fine. Now look at the Muslims around the world. Look, for example, at the Muslims in the West. They have all the means they want to be, if they want to be equipped. And still, it's as if they are not seeking knowledge the way we would expect them to do, if really they are faithful. So what is the problem? Why your young generation, as you are young, are not so much attracted?
I think it's because we are living in a very, very good age for knowledge and a very bad age for knowledge for my generation. Mm. Only 100 years ago, most people could not read books. Only 100 years ago. A few hundred years before that, there were no books. A few hundred years before that, they just invented the alphabet. So just now, with everything, the internet and all this information coming up for us, available to us, there's an information overload. That there's so much you take from here, you take from here, you take from here. You don't know exactly where to go. There's no foundation, there's no basis. They don't know what to bring it back to. And again, with the language, if they had the ability to absorb themselves into the Quran, they would be able to always bring it back to a reference to the Quran. But because they can't do that, there's so much from everywhere, they get lost. But I would recommend that people, like my generation, if they can just pick something out that interests them and stick on that for a few years, because that's what we are not very disciplined. Hmm. We don't have much of an attention span, you know, always on Twitter, Facebook, everything.
It's the Facebook and Twitter generation. Yeah. So it's in contradiction is what is expected to get Islamic knowledge?
It's just that because we spend so much time on social networks, barely I find people from my generation that just sit down for a few hours and just open a book without fiddling, without checking something, a message, just read. Yeah. This is what I meant.
Yeah.
But if they can just commit themselves to something for a few years is not a long time. We think it's a long time. That's the problem. We're not disciplined to stick to something and commit to it for a little while. If we just stick to something for 3-4 years, and this, for example, with what I'm doing, if I just stick to Islam for a few years, I can come back and I can start another degree or a master's degree in whatever I choose to. And my Islamic knowledge will help me with the knowledge. So if I'm studying philosophy, for example, everything I learn, I would understand. My Islamic knowledge will give me a background.
Yes, to understand the foundations. You know exactly what you are talking
exactly.
about.
Exactly. And like, if we look at people like Leonardo da Vinci, where he was a man of Renaissance. So he was not just a sculptor, not just an architect, not just a painter.
A wide knowledge.
Yes, you couldn't pin him down. He was a master at several things, because he would go to a master, focus on something for a few years, then go to something else, and his expertise in painting would help him in sculpting, which would help him in architecture.
That's added value in every field.
Exactly. Yeah. So with Islam especially, people will think, whoa, Islamic scholar, okay, he memorizes Quran, he memorizes the Hadith, okay, but what can he offer me in life? And this is not true. There's so much to offer from everything within life, whether sociology or philosophy or science.
That's fine. You seem to be full of energy and passion about knowledge, which is good. Now, if we look at your generation, and even mine, by the way, older generations and Muslims today, they are not so passionate about knowledge. Is this reference, you know, the traditional books, even, is, you know, there is a difference between the book you read on internet and the book you, the sensation, this very specific relationship that you can have. Now, this is not always there. Do you think we have to deal with young Muslims around the world to make them attracted, to entice them to be more involved in this process of seeking knowledge and try to get more knowledge? How do you think we have to deal with this? Because at the end of the day, this is where the problem lies, is that, okay, we are talking about knowledge, but they are not very much attracted. Is it by changing the way we teach Islam? Is it by changing the way we deal with the environment and the books and the critical thinking? What could attract the young generation?
I think two things. First of all, fear. I think people are intimidated. Maybe I'm not smart enough. I was told that, I remember at school, they made Shakespeare out to be very hard for us, as if we could understand it. You won't understand Shakespeare. Mm. Just do the work. And that's not true. Mm. You know,
So it's about confidence, you
confidence mean? Is very important, yeah. Mm. Because they tried to make you out as if you don't know how to, you're not good enough to study this. So if we could get rid of the fear, first of all, and approach something with confidence that, yes, I can do this. There's no reason why, Shakespeare's plays, his target audience, 92% of them could not read. Mm. So to tell kids now that you don't want to understand it, it's very disrespectful to the kid. Mm. So with us, I think that we need to trust ourselves more. And from the older generation, I think it's their responsibility also to instill that trust within us. Hmm. Secondly, I think the way the images of a learned person, when I was young, of being a geek, you know, as in this guy, all he does is read, he doesn't know how to have fun. Hmm. And they make it out like that is not a good thing. When it's the opposite, we have to show them that the geeks run the world. Hmm. So we have to show them what to be a learned person is to have power. Hmm. And that's what they want.
Knowledge is power. Anyway.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah.
But let me come to one point. You know, if I remember that in my life, I was in a house where all the walls were covered with books, and this was my life. And then it's natural for you. And then once I met someone, one of my teachers, who changed everything in the way he was dealing with his own knowledge. Mm. Have you experienced something like this? Why at one point in your life you stopped everything and said, no, now I have to change? Is there something that is helped you to change your perspective, your mind, and just say, okay, no, it's not only about journalism, I need something else. Mm. How did you encounter this need?
Yes. I grew up in a Muslim family. Mm. So I always was brought up to be a Muslim, everything, but I didn't really understand why. I just went with it. As I grew up, I had doubts. I had, no, this is not true. Do I really want to be a Muslim? Mm. All these, and I think many people go through them, but they're scared to speak about it. So then I started reading for myself. You know, I'd read Richard Dawkins, The God Delusion, or whatever it is, just to see what is the reasoning for why God cannot exist, and if God really does exist, and everything like that. I came to the conclusion that intelligence, it has to be. There's from the evidence that I found within science, DNA and so forth. Saying that, now that you believe that there is a God and what he wants from me, and I believe Islam to be the true religion, I wanted to know more. I always felt something missing within my heart. Like, there's something I wanted to do to follow, which I didn't want to follow the same old script. Now, I remember a teacher once told me, it's like life is like a circle, and it's like you're born here with Allah creates you, and you grow, and you're a child, then you go through puberty, and then you're a teenager, a man, children, family, and then you go back to the beginning of the circle. But all throughout this time, there's something missing, and you always feel that you want to go somewhere. Like when my parents came from Lebanon when I was young, as I grew up, they always said, I want to go back home, I want to go back home, I want to go back home. So they want to go back to Lebanon. And many other people that have left their country say the same. They always feel like something's missing, they want to go back home. But sometimes when they go back home, the void is still there. And I believe that because home is with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So for me, I always thought, I want to go back home, I want to go back home. And the closest way to home for me was to delve deep into seeking knowledge for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So that, I figured it was worth the sacrifice to go back home.
But this is a very interesting story, and the way you are putting it is interesting. It's in fact, back home means to get peace. Yes. And as you feel that you are in need,
yes,
that so in need of an answer to a question. So this is where this is exactly the point. El Iman, which is Nur, it's an answer to the fitra that you have, seeking knowledge. So there is a reconciliation. Now our young generation are not always in this, because the void is filled with something else, is illusion in order to avoid the big question. So distraction in order to avoid the way, which is Inna Lillahi wa Inna Ilayhi Raja'un. We belong to God and to Him we go back. So there is a path that we have to follow. If you were now someone who has in charge a minister, a ministry of education, and you have to think about what should I do to just, I know they are like me, I am like them, I was in the same world. Now I want to do something about education, and I know that in Islam it's central. We want this new generation, this young generation, to be much more involved in education. What would be the steps that we have to follow?
I would say to first of all show them that it's not out of touch, that it's in touch with everything that they want in life. So
you can do it, you can make it.
And that it's relevant to their lives also. We have to show them that it's relevant, and that the people that they look up to, that the people who run the world, I mean, a lot of kids are motivated by money. Okay, so first of all, we tell them, the people who are running the world, the CEOs of this world, they're not sitting down watching television or playing games, you know? They're working very hard. Yeah, a lot of effort. Yeah. So if they want to delve deep and become a master at something, they have to commit, they have to discipline themselves. You show them, for example, even though my generation, most of them, without generalizing, they look up to people like Kim Kardashian or Paris Hilton or whoever they be. Also, they look up to people like Malcolm X. And Malcolm X is someone that is a very powerful symbol, just because of if you read his story, and he's something the youth can relate to because of everything that he went through. And he went through drugs and prostitution and prison. But then he came out and he couldn't write a letter in prison. But when he was in prison, he learned the dictionary from front to back, wrote every word, so that his vocabulary became larger. Yeah. He started reading books. He changed completely as a person. You show them, Malcolm X got here. He was here and he got here.
So you find models in history.
Exactly, yes. Yeah. And you show them this powerful symbol and what it attained and how many people look up to it now. They think, wow, well, Malcolm X did this and he was there. Like, why can't I do it? And he came from there and his family was, like, his dad was dead, his mother was in a crazy hospital. Why can't I do it? So you show them the way for them by showing the powerful symbols.
Thank you so much. I think that it's good to listen to you and to see someone who is full of energy and passion about knowledge. But as we said, it's essential in Islam. No real understanding of Islam without seeking knowledge. It's an obligation for men and women. Now, the way this should be done, if it's possible to go in the Muslim majority countries and to follow, as you said, masters or shuyukh or ulama or maulanas that are providing the people with knowledge, that's fine. If you can't, you can find it in the country where you live. It could be in the UK, it could be in European countries, in the West, or everywhere where you are, we can find knowledge. But the point is just to be aware of that. And what you were saying, which is also very important, is the starting point of this journey is self-confidence. It's just, I can make it. Whatever the people are saying, that you don't have the means, you don't have the intellect, you can do something, and you can always be more knowledgeable tomorrow than you are today. So this is something which is to start with humility. And the second is to have models in history. And you were referring to Malcolm X and the way he was completely ignorant. Even he didn't know how to write, and then he did it by himself. So if someone in the United States, being a black, being in jail, can do it, what about all the people who are listening to us? Well, that's all we have time for. Please let us know your thoughts and views on any of the shows you have seen. And here is the way to contact us.
Islam and Life welcomes your opinion. So please send us your suggestions as well as criticism on any of the shows you've seen or would like to see. You can share your thoughts with other Islam and Life fans, engage with debate, and view past shows on our social media platforms. Tweet us at Islam and Life TV or join us on Facebook by liking our page Islam and Life on Press TV.
Finally, I would like to thank my guest, Hussein Makkay. Thank you so much for your presence, your energy, and your passion. And I hope to see you next week, inshallah.